This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
This is all the kind of stuff that real audiophiles, real people that just get into this stuff, love this.
And Chad P.
Europeans over there going, silly Americans.
Let's just believe anything. This.
Class is in.
Just a quick disclaimer, Rock School will probably not fly this week because of that stupid volcano.
Good Lord, if I have to hear one more thing about the volcano. Volcanic tacos at Taco Bell.
All
and now
of the
this.
News. I hate that volcano. I wish I could fly to Europe just one more time, but then there's the volcano.
That's
and
right.
Now they're saying another one's going to explode.
Yay.
Somewhere in Cleveland, I think. My name is Joe Burns, a professor in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University. The kid sitting next to me eating some kind of low-fat yogurt.
Yogurt, I'm on a diet.
Yeah, we're old in radio. Remember
That's
when
right.
it was cigarettes and coffee? Now it's yogurt and getting up every morning to run.
That's right.
I have been looking forward to doing this radio show for a while, unlike other
radio shows.
Yeah, about a week. Our program director, who has gone on to bigger and better things, we'll call him...
Terry.
Yeah, Terry's good. He left me with a couple CDs before he left, and this one here is called... You heard them here first, showcasing the first or at least the very early recordings of future superstars.
What's that?
So what I got here is 24 different songs by people that you know, but you wouldn't know them by the names of the groups. You
know, it's like their first garage band or
something? Exactly that.
Okay.
So let's start with number one.
Okay.
Cut number one on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Davy Jones with the King Bees.
Oh, that's Davy Jones, the lead singer of the Monkees.
Not quite.
There's
Same
another
name.
Davy Jones?
There's another Davy Jones.
Wow, what
lives
are the
in
odds?
The locker, yeah. This Davy Jones proclaims, upon listening to Tutti Frutti, I heard God. Then decided, well, some kind of God, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But wanted to be a rock star. So in the early 1960s, formed some bands. His first band was in 1962 called the Conrads.
Mm-hmm.
He then got into something called the King Bees. That's
right.
Where the recording is going to come from.
Okay.
Then the Mannish Boys, the Lower Third, the Riot Squad. Some people out there probably know it. Do you know it yet?
No,
his first
I thought it was
single,
the Monkees.
No. His first single was with the King Bees called Liza Jane. It was on the Vocalion Pop record in 1964.
You got me. Go ahead.
David Bowie.
No,
David,
he's not.
Yes, it is. From 1964, before he was David Bowie. Here's Davy Jones with the King Bees. Liza Jane, Rock School.
Well, I got a girl that's good to me. Whoa, little Liza. Well, now she ain't more than 5'3". Whoa, little Liza. Well, this little gal is good to me. Yeah, this little girl need a heavenly. Whoa, little Liza. A little Liza Jane. Little Liza Jane. Little Liza Jane. Little Liza Jane. I got a girl who's good to the. Whoa, little Liza. Yeah, this little girl turned me upside down. Girl, drive me to despair. Whoa, little Liza.
go. David Bowie. Now you can even hear the voice.
Yeah, I heard the voice.
There you go. The next one up. Vance Arnold.
Vance Arnold.
Vance Arnold and the Avengers. Now, we've actually mentioned Vance Arnold and the Avengers on this show before, so you might be able to get it.
When?
We did it during the live show when we were live on air. I actually brought them up. The first significant gig that Vance Arnold and the Avengers did was when they supported the Rolling Stones at Sheffield City Hall.
Okay.
No? Vance Arnold is actually a combination of Vince Everett, which is Elvis Presley's character in Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah.
It was actually misheard as Vance, mm-hmm. so Vince to Vance. And then the last name, Arnold, comes from country singer Eddie Arnold. This singer, Vance Arnold, that's not his real name, obviously, in 1964 gets a recording contract as a solo act with Decca Records and starts his long run of re-recording and remaking tunes. He does a cover of the Beatles' I'll Cry Instead with guess who playing backup guitar, the lead guitarist, future lead guitarist of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, really?
Jimmy Page plays lead guitar on this.
Let's see. Vance Arnold did a bunch of covers. Michael Bolton.
No, close. Joe Cocker originally was Vance Arnold, and this was his first single for Decca.
Pick a name and stick with it.
Nope. Joe Cocker, I'll Cry Instead. This is what he sounded like when you first heard him. Joe Cocker, Rock School.
I got every reason on earth to be mad.
We ought to do a show on how many aliases you've had.
Me?
In your career. Not you, just people in general, rock stars in general.
Oh, who've had different names?
Yeah, who's got the most aliases and how many bands you've been in?
I'll bet the Stray Cats have had close to the most.
Yeah?
They were always the Something Cats whenever they played, and they were able to play many different nights. The
right.
Cats was always the consistent, but they always had Something Cats. Black Cats, Stray Cats, Hungry Cats, and they just kept changing their name to be able to play every night.
See, I'm always on the other side of the coin.
What's
like
that?
If somebody comes up to me and says, I've played in this band, that band, and that band, you should hire me. I'd think, you probably have an attitude problem. Otherwise, you couldn't have kept one job.
Yeah, or kept the same name.
Right.
Now, this one's going to be easy. This person recorded under the name Lewis Reed.
Lou Reed.
Yeah, Lou Reed.
Duh.
Now, this one's kind of hard to pick out because the album that I'm playing these off of, called You Heard Them Here First, showcases of the first or at least very early recordings of future superstars. It's kind of hard to pick out when this thing was recorded. They don't even have a date on here as to when it was recorded. Now, everybody...
Before time.
Yeah, before time. Lou Reed is obviously known for Velvet Underground mm-hmm. and then this kind of droning guitar that he uses. He always used to tune the guitar to the same note across the strings and then would play it. Or normally his guitar stuff would only contain two chords, three at the outmost. This is going to be so weird to somebody who is a Lou Reed fan because when he first got into music as a high schooler, he was a doo-wop fan.
Doo-wop.
Yeah, and he was in a doo-wop group called the Jades in high school.
But his stuff is so polar opposite of doo-wop.
Hey, I'm with you. That's why when you hear it, you're going to go, that's not Lou Reed. It really is. It also could have been recorded when he was in college at Syracuse and was hosting a late-night radio program on WAER. That was the Syracuse station. The show was called Excursions on a Wobbly Rail, and the show typically featured doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and jazz. If I had to pick where this was recorded, I'm guessing it was at college because if you work at a radio station, you have the ability to get near microphones, recording
sure.
equipment and
yeah,
such.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm guessing
but how
this
come
thing was recorded.
If he was such a doo-wop fan, how come whenever he went ahead and became successful, did he not go ahead and pursue the doo-wop style?
I haven't an answer for you. I'm guessing something happened when he moved out to New York City and joined a movement, sort of a cult of personality, that kind of thing, and then got into the Velvet Underground.
That is so strange.
Yeah. I'm just going to play it because when I first listened to it, I turned it back around. I got 30 seconds into it, turned it back around and went, Lou Reed?
Did I play the right track?
You'll hear the voice. Here's Lou Reed. Lewis Reed, as it's set up. It's called Your Love. Here you go. Rock School.
Your love, your little love, your love.
Okay. Sometimes when he says certain words, you can hear the voice. Sometimes you can't. And I looked at, you know, I went to Wikipedia. I went to some other stuff that had Lou Reed bios in it, and I couldn't find anything about that song. You think that one might be a little bit of horse plop, if you would?
I think you're going to get us committed.
No, I don't. I think that one may be right. I think that may be true.
Stretching it, dude. I mean.
You don't think so?
I don't know. What do I know? I'm just one who must learn.
If it is, that's a great little piece of history.
Well, no doubt about it. But like, great. You know, if it's such an unknown piece, if it's so awesome, how come nobody knows about it?
Why isn't it out there?
Yeah. My thoughts, exactly.
It's a nice little piece of history, whether it is or not. He bought this CD that he brought to me over in Europe. It may very well be
a bunch of Europeans over there going, silly Americans.
Let's just
believe anything.
This. The next one. Have you ever heard of the Mina Birds? Now, some people have heard of the Mina Birds.
No.
They're out of Toronto, Canada. It's an R&B band, and it's one of these jam bands that most people have never heard of. However, they're known not so much. It's like Bonnie and Delaney out in California. They're known not for so much their own music, but for the people they have produced. Like Clapton was in Bonnie and Delaney, and Derek and the Dominoes came out of Bonnie and Delaney.
Here's the idea that a jam band called the Mina Birds.
Sure.
That's like people who sing in monotone, you know, start a screamcore band.
Sure, why not? The Mina Birds started up in 1964 and had, you know, a lot of not so big or kind of nobody names. Jimmy Livingstone was in it, Ian Goble, Rick Cameron, Joan Godsby.
Joan Godsby.
No names?
No.
Two people came out of it that started Buffalo Springfield, Bruce Palmer and Neil Young.
Neil Young was in the Mina Birds.
Now, yes, he was, as a matter of fact. This song, It's My Time, that we're going to play, had not only Neil Young in it, but at the time, Nick St. Nicholas, who was the bassist, left. And another bassist came in. And I researched the heck out of this, and I couldn't find who was the singer here. I'm going to guess it was the new bassist singing. Now, we may get some email off of this, but it certainly sounds like him. Rick James.
You think that's Rick James?
I think we haven't heard it yet. Wait till you hear it. I think it's Rick James. Now, I have proof that in this song, It's My Time, it's Rick James and Neil Young in the band.
So they're definitely playing.
Yes, but I think it's Rick James singing. Don't hold me to that, but I think it is.
Dude.
Take a listen. This is where the email starts flying. Here's the Mina Birds. Yes, Rick James. He's looking at me shaking it. As in Super Freak.
I'm
Rick James.
Strapping on my parachute because we're going off the edge.
It's my time, Mina Birds.
It's our time.
Rock School.
I really, really love you, darling, with a love that's so strong and so fine.
Now, stop it. You've heard it. Now, you tell me that doesn't sound a little like Rick James
that
belting
could be
that song
anybody.
Out. No, it could not. It couldn't be me.
Well, it's, you know,
now,
certain people sound alike,
Doc. No. Look, right here is the, I have it. It's on VIP Records, and I have the catalog number. So I know that Neil Young and Rick James were on that record. But
why do they not say who sang it?
Why is that information
not on there?
It's a small CD case.
Right.
See, will you agree with me? You're supposed to be my radio partner here.
I'm just trying to keep your credibility up.
I think, I said at the beginning, I think.
You think?
It sounds like Rick James. You could have really fought with me more on the Lou Reed
one. It could have been Rick Ross, for
everybody.
All we know.
Could have been that guy who makes paintings on Sunday. KLSU thinks it's Rick James, and they're listening to me out there. I can hear them all the way over here.
But the people in Shreveport listening on KSCL,
I'm gonna get crushed.
Say otherwise. I just don't know, dude. I mean, I'm telling you. I wish you wouldn't have told me that CD came from Europe, because I think they're messing with us.
At least it's fun to listen to some of the new stuff.
I'm not saying that it's not a fun show.
I still think it might be him. Isn't that an awful way to put it? I think it might be him. Terrible. iTunes. Go to iTunes and pick us up on podcast if you haven't already.
We're on there. That's a fact.
Yeah.
We know that.
Back in a minute while I punch him in the arm. Rock School. All right, no way to fight me on this one. We're looking at the album you heard them here first, showcasing the first or at least very early recordings of future superstars.
Is that the whole title of the CD?
Yeah, it is. I keep reading the whole thing. In fact, there it is.
Man.
Okay. The Band.
The Band.
The Band. Okay. Levon Helm, The Band.
Got it.
The Band first came together when they were joining rockabilly singer Ronnie Hawkins. They were his backup group. It was Ronnie Hawkins and The Hawks.
Okay.
The band was The Hawks. Now, they were with him between 1958 and 1963. When they left Ronnie Hawkins in 1964, they were known as the Levon Helm Sextet. They brought in a sax player by the name of Jerry Penfound.
Okay.
And that made six.
No problem.
Then when Penfound left, they became Levon and The Hawks.
The Hawks.
Now, they went and released a single on Ware Records under the name The Canadian Squires, but then returned again as Levon and The Hawks for a recording session for Atco Records later in 1965, which is where this song comes from.
Okay.
The Stones' I Throw, under the artist name of Levon and The Hawks. So this isn't the earliest recording of the band, but it's the one recording that I know I can put my finger on that is the lineup of the band as we know it. From 1965, The Stones I Throw, Levon and the Hawks, you will know them later as The Band.
The Band.
Right here. This one I know I'm right on. Rock School. When I'm starting to burn my way, I walk down a narrow.
You know you're right about that one, huh?
Yeah, and I'm right about this next one, too.
Okay.
I've actually moved it around a little bit here, going to a couple that I know I'm completely right on.
How come you jump
on
into ones that you know definitely you're right on?
Because you beat the heck out of me on the other two.
I'm just trying to make sure that...
You're my radio antagonist? Is that what you're saying? You're my foil today?
Now, seriously, think about this. What do I know? You're older than me. You were around whenever this stuff, or like you were closer to being around.
I was born in 64.
Well,
I was months old when some of these things happened.
I wasn't even a thought.
That's true.
What do I know?
Vanilla Fudge.
Vanilla Fudge.
Vanilla Fudge was originally called The Pigeons.
The Pigeons.
The Pigeons. What a hideous name, The Pigeons.
Now, you can take the with anything.
Sure,
I used to be in a band, and we were called The Desks.
The Desks, sure, why not? As long as you make it plural.
Right.
Now, here, let me tell you how it was set up.
All right.
Here's the band's original lineup.
Oh.
Mark Stein, Tim Bogert, you had Vince Martell, and then drummer Carmen Appice.
All right.
Those were the setup. Now, Stein and Bogert were in a band called Rick Martin and the Snowmen. Now, they really liked the sound of the Rascals. The Rascals grooving on a Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Rascals always had that neat organ in there.
Got it.
Well, they decided to form their own band with Martell and Rick Martin's drummer, Joey Brennan. Carmen Appice isn't even in the band yet.
Okay.
They called themselves The Pigeons.
The Pigeons.
Okay. They didn't record in America under the name The Pigeons.
Where'd they go?
They successfully recorded in Germany.
Under the name
The Pigeons.
I thought they weren't The Pigeons in America.
No, they weren't in America just yet.
But
what
they were The Pigeons
released
in Germany. Okay.
Right, in Germany.
Okay.
What did they name their album? The album title was While the World Was Eating Vanilla Fudge. So that's where they came up with the name Vanilla Fudge, and shortly after, they became the group Vanilla Fudge.
But they were The Pigeons. Why go with the name change?
I guess when they changed and got the original lineup, they decided they didn't like The Pigeons and changed it back over. But for that one album that was released, they had songs.
All right.
And this song that I'm going to play, a remake of In the Midnight Hour... Although it's not quite Vanilla Fudge, we don't quite have the lineup, we have The Pigeons and a remake of In the Midnight Hour. Vanilla Fudge as The Pigeons, right here, Rock School. You were telling me off mic that this is the stuff that is so confusing
it's
to
so
people.
Hard to keep
yeah, how
up
many
with,
how know? Many steps there are.
Well, yeah,
this is us all the kind of stuff that real audiophiles, real people that just get into this stuff love this, and
oh,
it's
yeah,
just
no
fun
doubt.
To be able mm-hmm. to zonk through the 9 incarnations. The fact that I can go through every name Van mm-hmm. Halen had before it was Van Halen.
I understand.
It just seems fun to be able to do that.
Well, I was being facetious off mic, and I said, you know, Joe Burns was in a garage band back in the late 60s.
Right.
And then traveled to Europe and met a man in Scotland who liked to play the bagpipes, and they formed a band called Joe Burns and the Kilts.
And on it goes. And
then
on it
they
goes,
went back yeah. to America and formed a band called The Chairs.
Right.
Whose first album was called Looking Good in Ties.
Well, don't you remember?
And they became The Ties. And then if I can get the first single from Joe Burns' early right. 60s garage band, I've gone and done something.
Well, don't you remember in Spinal Tap, they made fun of that. Spinal Tap mm-hmm. had something like 60 names before they became Spinal Tap. We're going to do another one right after 7 Days and 70 Seconds where I tell you where the Righteous Brothers actually became the Righteous Brothers.
They were born and their last name was Righteous.
Oh no, it goes on
of
deeper than
not.
That.
It's got to get complicated in
time
rock and roll.
For 7 Days and 70 Seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Monday, April 19th through Sunday, April 25th. And I believe Chad has Monday. Do it.
I don't. I do.
Cute.
Monday, April 19th, 30 years ago in 1980, Brian Johnson, you know the guy that gargles gravel?
That's it.
He became the vocalist for AC/DC, replacing the late Bon Scott.
Tuesday, April 20th, 50 years ago, Elvis Presley begins filming the film G.I. Blues.
I cannot believe I'm about to read this.
Yeah.
April 21, back in 1960, my radio hero, Dick Clark admitted before a congressional committee that over 25% of the records he played, he did it through payola.
Don't get me started.
He accepted money.
Don't get me started.
Oh.
I should put a rock school show together on that payola. Don't get
Man.
Me started. Thursday, April 22nd, 60 years ago, Peter Frampton is born in Meckingham, England.
What are you doing?
It's my talk box. It was Peter Frampton. Yeah, I get it.
April 23rd in 1975, Peter Ham, the guy who founded Badfinger.
Yes.
He committed suicide in London, England. Guess how old he was?
27. He hanged himself.
27.
Oh, yeah.
27 Club.
20 years ago in 1990, on Saturday, April 24th, while putting together the set for an upcoming Wall concert in Potsdamer Platz, Germany, workers uncovered an unexploded World War II bomb.
What?
Yeah. And Sunday, April 25th, 20 years ago, the Fender Stratocaster guitar Jimi Hendrix played at Woodstock is sold for $295,000 at an auction in London, England. Now, the next song we're going to play is titled Prison Break. It was written by Bill Medley as part of the group The Paramours.
Right.
Okay. The Paramours was made up of Bill Medley, Bobby Hatfield, and another gentleman here, John Wimber, who was on keyboard. They were singing and obviously recording some songs. Prison Break is what we're going to play. At the end of one of their performances, as the story goes, a Marine in the audience shouted out, "That was Righteous, brother!" And they became
what?
The Righteous Brothers. That's apparently where they got their name.
Wow.
So, Bill Medley, Bobby Hatfield, who, by the way, doesn't sing in the song, but mm-hmm. he does sing as part of the Righteous Brothers. Here they are, the Paramours, who will later become the Righteous Brothers. First time you'll hear them. Prison Break. Rock School.
Dude, rock stars have got to be the most indecisive, mind-changing people I've ever heard of.
Why? Because a different name?
Why is that necessary?
Hey, did you hear while we were playing tonight and that guy in the audience was heckling us and told us to go pound sand? Why don't we become the Sand Pounders?
That's a good name.
We're not going to turn this into whether or not it's a good name.
Sand Pounders. That's a good name.
I'm just saying.
I like that name.
Pick it up and stick with it. No, don't write it down.
Sand Pounders.
Oh, see you.
See the Sand Pounders. I like that. Yeah. Peter Frampton. We brought him up in 7 Days and 70 Seconds.
Right.
He was in a band in the late 60s called Herd. Now, too often people call it The Herd, and they went out of their way to just, we're just Herd.
That's it.
Not H-E-A-R-D, as in I heard you, but as in a group together.
Right.
Herd.
A herd of cattle.
Herd, like a herd of cattle, right. Herd. It's an English pop group, came to prominence in the late 1960s, and of course, Peter Frampton, boom, they scored 3 UK top 20 hits, and it actually made Peter Frampton sort of a star the UK.
He was the lead guy?
He was the lead guy. Okay. He was actually named, quote, the face of 1968 by the teen magazine Rave. You know, we had those teen magazines over here, you know, the Kiss and Tell issue. You know, win a date with whoever. Their equal over there was called Rave. Mm-hmm. And he was the face of 1968. So that was the band that launched Peter Frampton long before Show Me the Way and what have you.
Fair enough.
Would you like to hear one of the early Herd songs?
I'd love to.
I Can Fly. Here's Peter Frampton and Herd. Well, he can. Right here, Rock School.
Ghosts and midnight phantoms walk across my blind, play upon my mind till the dark is over.
I didn't hear any talk box in that track. I'm guessing he hadn't discovered the talk box yet.
No. The talk box wasn't even created for him. If you remember our talk box show, you can either go back and listen to it on kslu.org, or you can catch it by going to iTunes. The talk box was created initially for Joe Walsh.
Correct.
And he was the second one out. And that was long after he was out of Herd.
That's cool.
Or the Herd.
Herd.
This person, in the spring of 1962, joins the Ray Davies Quartet, later to be known as the Kinks.
Oh, the Kinks.
So he was not in the Kinks.
Uh-huh.
He got out of the Kinks. Rock and roll doesn't work out for him, obviously. So he comes completely disillusioned with rock and roll. Decides to begin listening to rhythm and blues after seeing Otis Redding in concert, and also introducing himself to Sam Cooke, who becomes his idol.
Mm-hmm.
One day, Long John Baldry is catching him. Long John Baldry, by the way, you may know him as Sugar Bear.
Oh, I do
you ever
know
heard
Sugar
of
Bear.
Elton John, Someone Saved My Life Tonight, Sugar Bear.
Yes.
That's Long John Baldry he's talking about.
All right.
Discovers this guy drunk and basically panhandling for train fare and singing to try and get to train fare, and invites him to join his backup band called the Hoochie Coochie Men.
Mm-hmm.
They record a couple of songs, including Good Morning Little Schoolgirl and Up Above My Head, I Hear Music in the Air. Both of them fail to make the charts, but it at least gets this guy noticed, and he later joins the Faces and gets a solo career out of it. Any idea?
I'm trying, dude.
Rod the Bod Stewart.
That was Rod Stewart?
That was Rod Stewart.
Peddling for train money?
You bet, by singing blues tunes. Here's one of the earliest recordings of him. Up Above My Head, I Hear Music in the Air, as part of Long John Baldry and the Hoochie Coochie Men from 1964. Rod Stewart on Rock School.
Up above my head,
up above my head,
I hear music in the air,
I hear music in the air.
Up above my head,
up above my head,
I hear music in the air,
I hear music in the air.
Up above my head,
yeah, 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 I hear music in the air. I really do believe it, I really do believe there's a heaven somewhere.
What do you think about that?
I'm in shock.
Now, that wasn't all him singing. He was going back and forth with Long John Baldry.
Just the story, though. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. I didn't know that he was in the Kinks.
How about that? Well, it wasn't in quite the Kinks yet. It was still the Ray Davies Quartet.
But still, became known as the Kinks, and Rod Stewart and rock and roll just didn't
work out.
I don't believe
it. Didn't work out. Hello, WBSD Burlington, Wisconsin, and thank you for running the radio show.
Hello, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain, which is in Europe.
That's
right. Where this CD came from.
Yeah, and also where the volcano just won't stop going.
That's
kaboom.
Right. You guys could do something about that?
Yeah, try to take that
off the map
for us, if you would, please. When we get back, I'm going to introduce you to Bo Peet.
Who?
Bo-Peete. I bet you don't know him by that name, but I'll bet you know him by his real name. I'll introduce you to him when we get back, right here, Rock School. All right, before the break, I told you I was going to introduce you to somebody named Bo Peet.
Yeah, just trying to figure out who it is over the break, and I can't.
Okay, you can't get it off the pseudonym. And really, in fact, the pseudonym has nothing to do with his real name. In fact, I have no idea where it even came from. Here's the story.
Okay.
In 1963, this guy was having success as a songwriter, working with another man named John Mariscalo on songs for Little Richard. Now, Little Richard, upon hearing him sing, said, I'm quoting Little Richard. Don't get mad at me.
Uh-oh.
He said, "My, you sing good for a white boy." Mariscalo also financed some independent singles for this guy. One was called Ba Ba Black Sheep. The other one was called Donna I Understand. And there was another one called Groovy Little Susie.
Okay.
Groovy Little Susie is the one I have and the one we're going to play. These three singles convinced Mercury Records to offer this man a contract to release recordings under yet another name called Johnny Niles, which is not his real name. Later, he would record under his real name, Harry Nielsen. You put the lime in the coconut and drink it all up. You put
That's Harry Nielsen.
Harry Nielsen is actually Bo Peet. You want to hear Harry Nielsen doing his best Little Richard? Here's Groovy Little Susie back from 1964. The first time you heard him, or at least the earliest time, here's Nielsen. Rock School.
Groovy Little Susie, oh, come on, dance with me. Don't you know, little girl, you shake my apple tree.
Okay, by time, it looks like, and these are short songs, it looks like I got time for two more here.
Cool.
And let's see if you can nail this one out. Sonny Bono was, and that's not who we're playing, but Sonny Bono was working for Phil Spector at Gold Star Studios. See, a lot of people think Sonny Bono was just some kind of goof that was the straight man for Cher. But he really wasn't. He was working very closely with Phil Spector and wrote a lot of songs. Sonny, because of his connections, was hiring backup singers.
Mm-hmm.
And he met, fell in love, and later married this lovely young lady named Sherilyn.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know where I'm going with this.
Cher,
right. She started doing backup singing at Phil Spector Studios. She was the backup singer on the Righteous Brothers' You Lost That Love and Feeling. Mm-hmm. Also, the Crystals' Da Do Run Run, the Ronettes' Be My Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Why was she backup singing on the Ronettes? Aren't there Ronettes?
That do
I
mean, that?
Yeah, I guess. Her first solo recording was something called Ringo, I Love You, as in an ode to Ringo Starr. That didn't work very well. Her second one did okay. It actually charted, and it was called Dream Baby, released under the name Sherilyn, written, produced by Sonny Bono, released in 1964. So Ringo, I Love You, nothing happened. Sherilyn's Dream Baby, however, made the charts. So you may have heard a whole lot of Cher, but this is what she sounded like before all the plastic surgery and when she was just Sonny's wife.
Hmm.
Here you go. Sherilyn, Cher, Dream Baby, Rock School. All right, time for one more here on Rock School.
Save the best for last.
Well, this one, I love picking the ones that just don't sound at all like what
legit.
You expect the person.
Uh-huh.
Right. This is from the CD, once again, you heard them here first, showcasing the first or at least very early recordings by future superstars. This one's also hard to buy. Just flat out hard to buy. This person turned the music real early, including a stretch with a high school friend by the name of Violet Santangelo, I assume is how you say it.
Okay.
It was like a Sonny and Cher type male-female duo called Lime and Sybil.
What?
Now, Lime is spelled L-Y-M-E. Lime, I assume that's how you say it.
Hmm.
And then the female is C-Y-B-E-L-L-E. Sybil? Sybil?
No, it is
Sybil, I assume. And very Sonny and Cher, Lime is Warren Zevon, as in Werewolves of London.
Are you serious?
So the earliest I have of Warren Zevon is 1966 on a old label called White Whale. Listen to the voice. Take my word for it. You'll hear this one being Warren Zevon. I wonder whatever happened to Violet.
Mm.
Probably went on her merry way. So that wraps it up. I hope you heard some weird voices, and I hope you believe me that the Minor Birds really had Rick James out in front. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad B.
Here's Warren Zevon in the form of Lyman Sybil to finish us up. Class is dismissed.